In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good afternoon. It's good to see so many of you here today. Was that just a warm-up for how you're going to read for the next Mass on Sunday? You're really excited about it. We're excited to have you. On Sunday, we have the senior Mass, and Elisa's going to be up there giving great glory to God. Can't wait for that. I just spoke to all of your classmates, who, all you young ladies, who can't wait to be here for that. Today's a particularly great God, particularly great day. For one thing, actually right now, because I forgot to turn my cell phone on Do Not Disturb and all those things, so right now, literally just right now, one of my friends who I'm going to visit in a couple days just sent me a text message this morning. He was doing his Lectio Coram, which is where it's basically he was getting his little doctorate to be a man I studied in the seminary with. So I was praying for him all today, and he just said he passed, just said he did well. And so he's going to be a great moral theologian for the church there in the District of Columbia, D.C., our nation's capital. Great young priest. We're the same age. So that's one reason why. And another reason is that today is the feast of St. Damien. You know who St. Damien is? You know St. Damien? You ever been to Hawaii? No, neither have I. Okay. But that's where he is. We've got a parishioner from Santa Rosa right now who is in Hawaii because she's visiting her children who are there. They're part of the military, and they're stationed there temporarily, and then going to be headed off actually to the other really far state away, which is Alaska. So she's going from all the really distant places. But St. Damien of Molokai was a man who was desired to go out as a part of his religious order. He lived in Belgium, and he saw the need of those who didn't have God, particularly those who weren't Christian in any sort of way, and nobody would go near because they had Hansen's disease, which is leprosy. And so he said, I will go. They need a priest. They need somebody to minister to them. Everybody else is pushing them aside. Well, why not me? And so he went and spent his whole life there on the Isle of Molokai, out there just working by himself and enjoying everything that they had there. And he lived out such a holy life because he saw the dignity of each one of those persons who were there who didn't know God and who didn't realize in any way that there was something good about themselves. Don't we all feel that way sometimes? Right? Because we have to confront our own weaknesses and our own struggles and our own hardships and everything else that everybody says about us. And if I were to reveal the most intimate nature of who I am, the weaknesses that I have, if I were to put on a face in some sort of way, then they'd see through me and they'd know maybe I'm not as good as I should be. That's a scary thing to have. Well, these who had Hansen's disease, these who had leprosy, had their disease born forth by all, and that's why they were exiled to this one island, particularly not a good island, there in the Hawaiian Islands. And they still struggled with that. Is this person looking at me that way? Am I really valued in some way because they've kicked me out? They pushed me aside. Damien was sent as one to show them what the love of Christ really is. That looks not on the outside, that looks only on the inside and sees beyond all those weaknesses that we think that are inside us that are so great and unsurpassable in a way. If somebody would just know that maybe they'd reject us, God doesn't see that. He says, it's my wounded daughter who's there. It's my wounded son who's there. And the thing that they think is most important about themselves really isn't. The most important thing about them is that they're mine. Beloved son or beloved daughter. That's it. And that's the one thing that defines them. Not anything else that they may think other people call out about them or say is the one thing they should be proud about. I want to read to you a little testimony that was given by a local who was there, Joseph Manu. And this is just a real short little bit of his recollections of St. Damien of Molokai, just to see how great a man he was. He's from the life of the saint. He says, Joseph does, in the beginning, people stayed away from him and they were afraid of him because they thought he was severe. But later on, they lost any fear and loved him. People spoke well of Father Damien before and after his death due to his benevolence or his kindness toward all. He says this. Maybe said of us too. I never heard him talking about his suffering or complaining about the disease because, this is an aside, he contracted the disease. He contracted leprosy and he rejoiced in it. Why? Because he said, now I can be more like those that I'm serving. Just as Jesus, who is God, came down from heaven and took on human flesh, human nature, now I get to take on the very nature, the very suffering of those I'm serving. I have leprosy just like them. Go on to what Joseph says. He says, I never heard him talking about his suffering or complaining about the disease. He was a man of will and of strong character. In spite of the pain in his fingers, he worked with the boys and others tilling the land, working hard to make food for us all. He never wasted food, nor would he allow others to waste food in his presence. I and others of my family helped Father Damien as he was poor. We gave him food as we knew he was in need. He didn't eat too much, but he cooked taro, the principal bread of the Hawaiians, which is a very tough food, by the way. Sometimes I asked Father Damien, is the food enough for you? He answered, even too much. Look, I have some taro and some fish right here. I sometimes said to Father Damien to throw something away as it was old. And he answered, no, it's still good for me. Father Damien warmed up his food a few times over and over again to make another meal rather than to throw even the littlest bit away. Father Damien prayed very often. I often saw him pray. He called the boys to pray, showing them how to pray before entering into my boat. He often used to recite a prayer, and when we were nearing the land to go and to land upon another bank, the first thing that he did was to kneel and pray when he arrived safely on the shore. When he arrived at my house where he used to stay when they were in Pelekingu, he prayed again. He used to celebrate Mass in my house until he built a very small chapel. In the beginning, there were only 8 Catholics willing to come to Mass. But very early, he converted half the population and built a small chapel there. I was his altar boy, and I noticed he said Mass slowly and with such great devotion. He had a lot of trust in God. In spite of all the difficulties, he did not lose courage or trust in God. He tried to encourage the patients who were there to have hope in God, a hope which is never disappointed. I had great affection and love for Father Damien, as he was my spiritual father, but also my friend. And every night, I prayed to Father Damien for his help and for his assistance. These are the recollections of Joseph Manu, that dear friend and follower of Father Damien, co-laborer there on that island of Molokai. Let's ask our Lord for the same sort of graces that he had, to willingly engage with those who oftentimes don't do well for us, and to be content with the little that the Lord allows us to have, knowing that in truth it's far more than we deserve. And the Lord provides all things, not everything that we ask for or want, which is beyond our needs, but he provides for us the most important thing, which is what Father Damien was able to give to those with whom he ministered, a knowledge of God's friendship with them, of how each of them, no matter what was going on in the outside or no matter what was going on in the inside of them, that God's love was enough for them and that they belonged to him was the only knowledge that mattered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo. Jesús nos prepara para recibir el Espíritu Santo en Pentecostés, en este Evangelio. ¿Qué quiere decir Jesús sobre el Espíritu Santo hoy? En el primer lugar, el Espíritu Santo es inseparable del Padre y del Hijo. El Espíritu Santo insufla la verdad misma de Dios y hace que la fe cobre vida en sus corazones y en las mentes de las personas que son receptivas a la palabra de Dios. En el segundo lugar, el Espíritu Santo hace posible que conocemos a Dios personalmente. Nos da el conocimiento experimental de Dios como nuestro Padre. El Espíritu Santo da testimonio a nuestro espíritu de que el Padre ha enviado a su Hijo único al mundo para redimirlo, de que ha resucitado a su Hijo Jesucristo de entre los muertos y de que lo ha sentado a la derecha del Padre con gloria y poder. En el tercer lugar, el Espíritu Santo nos releva el plan de Dios para el futuro. El Espíritu nos permite ver con los ojos de fe lo que el Padre y el Hijo están haciendo. Mediante el don y la labor, mediante el don y la labor del Espíritu Santo, nos convertimos en testigos de la obra de Dios en Jesucristo. El Espíritu también nos fortalece en la fe y nos da valor. Recuerde que Jesús advirtió a sus discípulos que podrían esperar persecución, así como Jesús fue atacado y tratado con hostilidad. Debimos esperar recibir los mismos ataques que recibió Jesús en nuestras vidas. El Espíritu Santo se los da para ayudarnos a vivir como discípulos de Cristo. Necesitamos valor y perseverancia para triunfar sobre las adversidades y desafíos en nuestras vidas. Si sabemos todos estas cosas, ¿confiamos en el Espíritu Santo que nos dé estos dones cuando los necesitamos? Rezamos para que el Espíritu Santo nos fortalezca en nuestra fe cuando es débil, para que aumente nuestra esperanza cuando nos golpean tantos contratiempos, para que aumente nuestra capacidad sobrenatural de amor cuando la gente mala nos hace daño y nos decepcione tanto. Pedimos al Espíritu Santo que nos dé valor y perseverancia cuando el camino que tenemos por delante parece difícil y tenemos la tentación a mirar con ojos celosos a la gente pecadora que prospera mientras nosotros, con las almas fieles, parece que solo sufrimientos más. Dirigimos a Dios misericordioso. We have to go to Jesus. We have to go to our most merciful God. Pidámosle que llene nuestros corazones con las gracias del Espíritu Santo, que nos dé amor, alegría, paz, paciencia, mansedumbre, bondad, fidelidad, humildad, autocontrol. Todos los frutos del Espíritu Santo que San Pablo dice en su carta a las Galatianas. Hoy es el momento perfecto para dejar que Jesús nos enseñe amor a los que nos odian y a rezar por los que nos usan con desprecio, para que seamos hijos de su amor, porque hace salir del sol sobre los malos y buenos y envía la lluvia sobre los justos y injustos. Los caminos de Dios van más alto de nuestros caminos para perdonar. Pide a Jesús que nos dé paciencia en los momentos de adversidad y en la prosperidad, que nos mantenga humildes, para que valoremos muy poco los placeres de este mundo y tengamos sed a las cosas celestiales. Estos son los deseos que Jesús quiere plantar firmemente en nuestras almas hoy. Pídelos hoy al Espíritu Santo, porque Él está presente con nosotros. Y Jesús quiere enviar su Espíritu Santo entre nosotros. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.